This is TalkBack, a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Media Group stations in Fayetteville. The opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Beasley Media Group, its management, staff, or advertisers.
Paul Johnson is my name. Thank you for joining us this morning. I am no preacher or a Bible scholar. There are true Bible scholars that have forgotten more about the Bible than I may ever know. But I try to be faithful, and I try to be a kind individual. In that way, I'm probably a lot like you. I open today's show with the question, has this ever happened to you? Understanding that you and I have probably both heard the Bible verse, it happens to be Matthew 25:40. Truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me. At the same time, have you ever driven through a drive-thru and somebody walks up to your car and says, hey, have you got a few dollars to help me out? Most of the time, I don't give away the money. Every so often, I'm moved to do it. But I'm torn between what I know of that Bible verse and the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? We'll explore that today. Today is Easter Sunday. In the Bible, John 15:12 begins, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's the truth of Easter. When Jesus died on the cross and burst his three-day prison to join his Father in heaven, he took with him all of our sins so that we might enjoy eternal life with the Father in heaven. That's the simple belief of Christianity and makes today the most joyous day on the Christian calendar. As Christians understand unconditional love, the fatherly love of God for humans, as well as the human reciprocal love for God, we understand that it's a form of love that is higher than erotic love, brotherly love. It's the love that passes all understanding. And that's where we begin our conversation today with the former pastor of Snyder Memorial Baptist Church, David W. Crocker. Before we begin, I want to tell you that David Crocker has written a brand new book called Commissionaries, The Power of Giving. And you can find more information about this exciting book by going to davidwcrocker.com. davidwcrocker.com. We invite you to listen to this absorbing interview, and we thank you for joining us, David Crocker, on this Easter Sunday on TalkBack. There's no greater service brand than Operation Inasmuch.
So let me clarify something that sure. You may not be aware of. This church began doing what we called Operation Inasmuch in March of 1995. I had come here a little less than a year prior to that as pastor. There's a story behind it that I won't go into. In 95, about 9 months into my tenure, we did the first Inasmuch, which was about 400 plus church folk from Snyder Memorial going out into the community to minister to people in need, all sorts of things. It was so successful that the church people said 24 hours later, that was on a Saturday, so this was a Sunday, when are we going to do this again? So we began immediately making plans to do the same type event in the spring of 95, which we did, the fall, and then we continued that twice a year pattern. In 2002, I left Snyder and Fayetteville and moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, where I live now. I took the concept of Operation Inasmuch with me. Again, that concept was the mobilization of church members out into the community to serve people in need. In 2007, I left the pastorate in Knoxville and launched the national Operation Inasmuch, Inc. Around the same time, Sue Bird, who had always been involved in what this church was doing and still is, launched Fayetteville Area Operation Inasmuch. And that, naturally, is what most Fayettevillians know because it's done such a wonderful job of caring for people, serving them breakfast 5 days a week, providing eventually lots of other services, including the shelter that they now operate. Mm-hmm. So in Fayetteville and the surrounding area right here, there has been a little bit of confusion between the national inasmuch, which is what I do, and the Fayetteville area inasmuch. So I need to make that distinction so that you're clear. I have always been involved with the national and very supportive of course, of what Sue has done, the Inasmuch ministry here in Fayetteville has done. We consider ourselves kind of sister ministries for reasons that I think are fairly obvious. And so I have continued to work on that. And what people don't know, even in Fayetteville, a lot of people here at Schneider know it, but outside of this church, they don't. This national ministry has gone international.
Wow.
So we have had the opportunity to work with 2,300 churches in 25 states and four countries, doing the exact same thing that began in 1995 right here at Snyder and in Fayetteville.
Wow.
So we've had, God has used that ministry to expand participation and involvement in this whole idea of getting church people outside of the church buildings to care for people in Jesus' name to people who need it. While at the same time, the Fayetteville area operation as much has continued to do what they do right here in Fayetteville, but only in Fayetteville.
Sure.
So there's a connection, but we're not the same.
Okay, well, I understand that.
Okay.
It all grows out of Matthew 25:40.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which states, and I'm going off the top of my head here now reading the script, but for inasmuch as you have done for the least of my brethren, you have done to me, is what Jesus said.
Here's an interesting point about that, Paul. That word, inasmuch, only appears in the King James and New King James version of Matthew.
Wow.
If you look at the NIV or the RSV or the Message or any of the other more contemporary translation, it's translated differently. The Greek in Matthew is translated differently. There was a lady in Canada who years ago got a book that I wrote while I was here explaining about what this model is and how it works. And she sent me an email and said, this word inasmuch does not communicate as well in our culture in Canada. So we have given it another word. They used from another translation, whatever. So they had literally an operation whatever. Well, you know, what I joke about sometimes with folks is that I think churches are doing a lot of operation whatevers because they don't know what it is and they don't know what they're doing and they're just doing something. And so, but that's some people have questioned, that seems like an odd name for something. Well, not for Fayetteville.
Right.
Everything in Fayetteville, whether it's military or civilian, is operation this, that, or the other.
Sure.
So it communicates here, and it also communicates elsewhere. So,
Well, it's a beautiful concept in that it is unconditional love towards whomever we meet, because
whomever
we meet could be the least of our brothers. And whether you're rich monetarily, but not spiritually, whether you just are in abject poverty, all those things get tended to because they are the needs.
Right.
And that's what I have always taken as the meaning.
Good.
And yet, in practical application, because you want people who are nourished to grow, but we're not God, and we can't judge what their growth is. How do you lend that aspect?
Okay, I can answer that.
Yeah.
At least to my satisfaction.
Sure. Yeah.
So, when we serve someone in need, we give them hope. We give them hope not just for the need that exists at the present time for them. Let's say, for example, someone is hungry and we provide some food. So we have alleviated that need for the moment, for the day or whatever. But we have also, because we do that, hopefully, from the right spirit, we have shown them that someone cares. That gives a person hope. Paul, we can live without almost anything except hope.
Yeah.
There is a psychologist by the name of Dale Archer who has written about his experiences in dealing with victims of Hurricane Katrina and Rita that came through New Orleans a few years ago. We all heard about them. He says that there are two kinds of victims, or I should say, two kinds of survivors. There is the psychological victim, and there's the psychological survivor. The difference between the two has nothing to do with their place in life or their material wealth or what they lost, be it material or personal. The difference is hope.
Huh.
And the fact is, the victims are people who are so absorbed by their loss, they can't get past it.
Sure.
Survivors are people who have experienced loss that is just as devastating, but they hold on to hope. Mm-hmm. And that's where you people like you and me and hopefully many, many others can make a difference. So here's a true story from right here in Fayetteville years ago. You familiar with the Sapona Road area?
Sure.
Okay. You know that's a part of Fayetteville that the Chamber of Commerce doesn't tell tourists about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's has been for years a crime-ridden area, lots of drugs, you name it, that's not good, and it's there. Years ago, while I was still at Snyder, we concentrated our home repair projects in the Sapona Road area. We were advised not to do that, but we did it anyway. Interestingly, it was Sue Bird who at the time, this was before she started the Fayetteville Area Operations Month, years before, she literally went door to door in that community, knocking on doors, asking people if a group of church volunteers could come and make repairs on their home. Whatever she could see that needed to be done. Repair a porch, a new roof, whatever. Paint job. Some of the people said no.
Good.
Because the city and county had made lots of promises to them and broken all the promises. So they were skeptical. But enough of them said yes that there ended up being about 2 dozen home repair projects in that neighborhood. They were still skeptical mm-hmm. until the Friday before the Saturday of Inasmuch when trucks began delivering building materials. Mm-hmm. And they thought, maybe this is really going to happen. And then when the day came, you had the Baptist working on one house, and 2 doors down, you had the Presbyterians working on another house, and across the street, you had the Catholics working on that, all over the neighborhood. They just invaded the neighborhood for the day. The next week, 1 week later, people from Fayetteville Tech came in to teach people in that community how to read and write, because illiteracy is at a high rate there.
Sure.
4 times as many people showed up that day to learn how to read and write. And it was the Fayetteville Tech people who said, it's because the church people were here last week.
Wow.
What happened was because our people went in there and loved on those people and helped them with their needs, they began to have hope. And guess what? It's people who have hope that do things to help themselves.
Goodness gracious.
So that's what I'm saying. So that's the answer, in my opinion. That's the answer to the question of how do we get people from a more dependent circumstance to beginning to take care of themselves. I'm not suggesting for a minute that that can happen in one instance.
Sure.
It usually takes a period of time, but it can happen.
Beautiful story. And one that, you know, I'm glad you can tell as a truth that happened right here in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Because it's something that people have witnessed. It's something that people can see. As efforts like this continue, what would you say are the steps that people can take and make grow? Is it to get involved in a church project? Is it how do people get involved?
I've got an answer for that one too, but let me preface it by saying I've just written a book that has just come out entitled Compassionaries: Unleash the Power of Serving, and it's all about serving. The book discusses the why we serve from a faith perspective. We're trying to learn how to be Jesus to the people who most need that. It deals with the benefits of serving, both to those who are served and those who serve. And it deals with some of the challenges that come with serving. And then finally, and this is the point I'm getting to, the last section of the book deals with helping people find their sweet spot of service.
Okay.
So the way a person does that, in my opinion, is, first of all, what I would advise them is take some time to think about your motives. Why we do something is often is important, if not more so, than what we do. And certainly Jesus was pretty big on motives. There were people who he said were doing the right things, but they were doing them for the wrong reasons. And that still is true today. And so I would certainly never encourage anyone to do what otherwise might appear to be the right thing, but for the wrong reason. So take some time to examine their motives. The second thing to do is spend a little time talking to people who do serve. Find out, how did you find your place of service? Was there a process that you went through? Or was there someone who helped you? Did you simply connect with an organization? I mean, there are lots of ways of doing that. And we can learn. Just as if I want to learn how to build a set of bookshelves, I would be wise to talk to someone who's done that. Mm-hmm. Same thing with serving. Same thing with serving. In the process of looking through all of that, though, it's also, I think, important to know what it is that God wants us to do. In this book, for example, I have gathered together in one of the appendices most of the biblical references to God's feeling for the poor and how we are to respond to that. It's about 5 pages of biblical references taken straight out of the Bible, brought together all in one place. It's really a pretty impressive list. And what that tells us is this is not an incidental thing. It's very, very important to him, and therefore it should be important to us. And then a person needs to kind of look around in the community and see the need that connects with them. A couple of words about that. It may be something that connects with their own experience. What I sometimes tell people, which is not original with me, is your pain is your purpose. When we experience something in life that is especially painful to us, normally we become sensitized to that. So when we meet someone else or encounter someone else who has been through a similar experience, we immediately have a connection. And if that person is still in that experience, let's say the loss of a loved one, and then a good friend has a significant loss like that, we gravitate to that person. So look in your life and see what sort of pain has been there that might be an indicator for you as to where you can serve. And then try to find a place that sort of fits that situation. So taking a look at your experiences, checking your motives, looking where the opportunities are and the needs are in the community. And it may be, and this is the most exciting part, it may be that God will open up your heart and mind to a need that exists close to you that no one is meeting.
Wow.
And it may be that he wants you to do something about that. That's what Sue Bird did when she started Fayetteville Area Operation As Much. There was care for homeless people in Fayetteville, but it wasn't being done in a way that had dignity about it, treated the people with dignity. That was one of the main characteristics of what Sue did when in 2007-08, somewhere in there, she started Fayetteville Area Operation As Much. It was the dignity with which the homeless people who came in for breakfast were given. The people served. They were served. They didn't go through a line to serve themselves. They sat at tables and still do. And the food is brought to them just as if they were in a restaurant. Nowhere else would they get that kind of treatment. And so for Sue, that's just one example of how that kind of thing can happen. That's a long answer to your question. So.
Well, it's there are a lot of answers that aren't easy to come by.
Right.
But that's part of what my conversation with you is about.
Right.
Because there are a lot of skeptical people.
Yes.
And in Charlotte, Sue Myrick, who was a mayor of Charlotte, later a Republican congressman, woman, she and George Shinn, who at that time owned the Charlotte Hornets, combined an effort to try to do the same thing through a more or less government-administered program.
Yeah.
What they found is that they felt taken advantage of by people who put flyers up in Chicago at the bus station. Said, you want some easy pickings? Go to Charlotte. You know, in Fayetteville, we've had instances where people have given people from New York City a one-way ticket to Fayetteville.
Yeah.
How do we respond to that?
That's a more complex question. I think what you're really asking about is what I would describe as the circumstances when mercy becomes messy. And one of the things we have to accept is that a serving mindset, a genuine, authentic desire to serve people in need, carries with it a certain degree of vulnerability. If we are primarily concerned about reducing our vulnerability in the midst of serving, we're probably going to miss some real opportunities to serve in the first place. In the second place, that's where the motive thing comes in, I think. I think we have to just understand that there are going to be times when we are taken advantage of. Paul, I'm a person who has never wanted to be taken advantage of, and I've had to work through that, and I'm not sure that I can say I've completely done that. But I've come to understand that allowing myself to be vulnerable is not a bad thing. In order to help in those situations, to serve in the situations where there is genuine need, I gotta recognize that it's never going to be 100%. There are going to be those times when somebody will take the money I give them on the street, which, by the way, is I almost never do that because I prefer to give in a way that it can be helpful, that I know it can be helpful. But I do it sometimes because it seems like the right thing to do. Are they going to go spend it? They might be like the man I met in Indianapolis, Indiana one time who had a sign asking for money, and then he said, I'm not going to lie, it's for beer. At least he was honest. I mean, every passerby had to laugh at the sign because, I mean, we all suspect that, but you don't ever see it on a sign.
Right.
So anyway, we just need to be okay with being vulnerable sometimes. Now, if there's a systemic problem, like people passing out flyers in Chicago about coming to Charlotte or to Fayetteville or whatever, there may be some ways we would have to address that. I'm not sure I'm prepared to suggest try this, that, and the other, and you can solve the problem. I don't think it's ever going to be solved completely, but we don't want to ever enable people if we can help it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be careful. So we need to be asking ourselves the question, is what I'm doing to serve this person going to create a dependency on the part of that person to me or to others like me? If the answer to that question is yes, then we need to give it a second thought. One key to it, at least in a local setting, is engaging that person in helping themselves. So let's say that a person has a need of home repair. They can't afford to hire someone to do it. They're very limited in their own knowledge of how to do it or physical ability to do it. Nevertheless, looking for ways to help that person actually be a part of the process of building a wheelchair ramp, for example. They may not be able to do much, but they can do something. Or they can buy some of the materials, maybe not all of the materials. Letting them have some skin in the game, if you will, more than monetarily, like Habitat does. They require the recipients of their homes to invest so much sweat equity.
Sure.
That concept is really what I'm saying. Now, that it can't be done in all circumstances, but probably more than we realize.
An outstanding, thoughtful response to a question which is going to come up and will be taken up by skeptics in the process. However, you've shown us a way to stay faithful to the original concept. And that's more than I could hope to get on an Easter Sunday conversation. David Crocker, thank you very much for spending time with us.
If I may, just add, so I'm looking for opportunities, and I'm grateful for this one to spend a few minutes with you. I would encourage people, if this is an area of interest to them, either because they would like to serve more effectively or they'd like to find their own place of service, to take a look at this book, Compassionaries, Unleash the Power of Serving. It is available on Amazon. It is also available through a website that I've set up for the purpose of helping people become acquainted with the book. That website is simply my name, davidwcrocker.com. And they can get information about the book. They can also make a purchase there. And the whole idea is to get that message out there every way we can. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
We're grateful for the time that you've given us, and we're happy to pass that information along. Yeah. You know, great deal of understanding of the problem because of the time you've spent thinking about it. And that makes me appreciative in particular as Fayetteville is ready to take some new steps in this direction. And I hope that operation, in as much as developed by Sue Bird, but the original impetus for the project, you know, coming with your understanding of operation in as much and enacting your first program in 1995. Bless you for continuing to keep on giving.
Thank you.
Thank you, David Crocker. DavidWCrocker.com is the website. DavidWCrocker, no punctuation, no spaces, .com. The book is Compassionaries. Have a blessed Easter day. Thank you for listening.
This has been Talk Back, a weekly public affairs presentation of the Beasley Media Group stations in Fayetteville. I'm Paul Johnson, sitting in this week for Danny Highsmith. Stay safe. Have a great week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.